This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
In the last three episodes, we've talked about my exploration over the last 35 to 40 years of what's involved in goal setting and achieving them. Let's take this episode. I'll tell you a story about what it looks like on the court in the self-storage business. My name is Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy. And that's where the training that I offer the small investor is. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Part of what I do is one-on-one coaching. I now have two slots available if anyone's interested. There will be information in the comments section on the YouTube channel, or you can reach out to me through at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Click the coaching section and set up an exploratory call, and we'll see if it's for you. But let's talk today. I'll tell you a story about one of my more crazy experiences in the self-storage business. I wrote about it in the book, Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, in the second section of the book, but today let's kind of do an abbreviated version of it within the context of the last three episodes that we've created. So I actually did my first self-storage facility in 1999, December 31, came out and did two others real quick and put a small portfolio together of the projects. And we ended up selling them rather quickly, got an unsolicited offer from a private REIT. And the way we were organized at the time, majority ruled, the prices were good. So I was out of the self-storage business in around 2003, 2004. I went back to focusing on my commercial real estate business. And I realized towards the end of 2006, beginning of 2007, that if I really wanted to create some wealth, I probably ought to get back in the self-storage business. Now, the impetus for this was the fact that the estate that I thought my father had set up and that he said he'd set up for me, when I really got what it was, I saw that it wasn't anywhere near enough. And I realized I had to earn some serious money fairly quickly. So the way I knew to do it was self-storage. So I started looking how I can get back in the self-storage business. Now, at that point, I had the first portfolio I put together, first brand I was involved in creating. We had syndicated, although I didn't know that's what you called it at the time, but I had raised money and found the deals, and I went on the loan. My investors didn't. So I thought I'd do something similar to that again. So I started looking, and end of the second quarter of 2007, I found a project in my hometown. I'd never owned anything in my hometown before and was real excited to go look at it. The preliminary numbers look good, but you never know until you go and look at it. So I set an appointment to go see it. It was listed for about $6.5 million. It was 88,000 square feet on four and a half acres or so. And what was interesting, I'd never seen this, but people who built it, when they built it, they built all 88,000 square feet, but they didn't put units in all the buildings. And some of the buildings, they were just open warehouses like, and they set up racking. And while they were leasing the storage, they also were doing a record storage business. Now, the record storage business had been growing at about 15 to 17% increase in revenue per year since they'd started doing that. So the numbers look good. I was excited about it. The project looked good. And when I pulled up there, I had this strange feeling. Like when I saw the project, getting out of my car, walking up to that office door, I had this sensation, almost like a knowing, that I was going to own this property. like the walk almost seemed familiar to me. Now, keep in mind, this was 2007. The economy's rocking and rolling. It had been over 10 years of growth. The last kind of blip we'd had was the dot-com bust in the end of the late 90s and 9/11 at the beginning of the 2000s. Other than that, it had been solid growth almost my whole time, from when I got in the self-storage business, built that first brand up and sold it, up until now. It had been a pretty growing, booming economy. So I really liked the project after I saw it, and I was excited about the record storage business being part of it. I really didn't know much about it, but was real excited about it. The revenue was good. And so I went back and thought, now how can I put a deal together? Well, I had a father and son team that I had sold some investment real estate to over the past few years, including a self-storage facility. And they said to me numerous occasions, if you're ever going to do a deal and are raising money, let us know. We'd like to go in with you. So I called them up, just explained briefly what I had. They indicated they had up to $200,000 that they could invest. And then I went and saw another family, father with four kids, and they had sold a office supply business and had a lot of money. I didn't see all the kids, but I met with the father and one or two of the kids, presented what the deal looked like, and they got excited. They said they were in up to $1 million. Now keep in mind, in 2007, it was nothing to get an 80% loan. So I realized I had pretty much the money I needed to close on the deal. I contacted a mortgage broker, and I'd never done a CMBS loan, commercial-backed mortgage security conduit loan. These are non-recourse loans that are basically funded by institutional money, and they're typically in place for about 10 years. So I contacted a mortgage broker. He helped me set up a CMBS loan. I was going through the due diligence on the deal. The inspections look good, the numbers look good. I was, running my performance based on how I thought I would run the project. Everything was looking good. I had the non-recourse loan in place, I had the equity in place, and the due diligence was going fine. Now, every morning I would get up, see myself back in the storage business, running this facility, closing on this deal, and I always had the same sensation I had when I first went to the project and got out of the car, like, okay, I see myself running this. Like, it seemed like it was the thing that was going to happen. Then weird things started to happen. So the first thing that happened was I got a call 2 weeks before my due diligence period was up, and I got a call from the family that was putting in the majority of the money. And the father said that there was some infighting between his kids, not all of them wanted to do the deal, and just to keep the peace, he was having to withdraw his commitment to put in $1 million in the deal. So poof, just like that, almost all my equity went away, and I had literally 2 weeks, a little bit less than 2 weeks on the due diligence period. Now, the next morning in my morning routines, I still had the curious sensation that we were closing on this deal, but I sure didn't know how. I had to get $1 million in a few days. So I didn't know what I was going to do. And I remember I went on a Thursday to a marketing session, a Kentucky Real Estate Exchangers group, which is a group of creative people. I thought maybe towards the end of the meeting, I might present my problems, get a little feedback. But I was sitting there, I'd drinking some coffee, sitting there, and what happens is people would get up and make presentations on properties. And I'm sitting there, and somebody gets up, and in my hometown had a vacant 36,000 or so square foot industrial building. And what caught my eye was the price, $1.2 million, loans, zero, equity, $1.2 million. Now again, keep in mind, 2007, it was nothing for me to get an 80% loan on real estate from a bank at that time. 80% is right at almost $1 million on that building. So I raised my hand, I asked about who the ownership was, and the owner was somebody I knew. When I first went from residential to commercial real estate, I didn't have any business, so I called them for sale by owners. One of the first listings I had was a for sale by owner on a main street in our market, and I listed that building, and this was the guy that I listed it and sold it. So I said, I'm a taker for that industrial building, but I have to meet with the seller today. And so by noon, we left right after that, and by noon we were in that gentleman's office. Now the seller was John B. He was a retired CPA. He'd actually owned some self-storage in the past, little, but I sat through my pro forma out on the desk, told them, you know, here's the deal, and I said, I'll take your building, and I'll give you 70% of this deal in exchange for your building, and he was trying to do a 1031 exchange, and I said, the only thing is you've got to hold a second mortgage for $200,000. He asked some questions, and you know, I was straightforward, told him by the time we were done, he knew exactly what had happened. And he said, okay, I'll exchange my building for 80% of that deal, and I will hold the second mortgage for $200,000. So I had my $1 million, because what I would do is close on his deal, refinance it, take that $1 million cash proceeds from the refi, that would go into his 1031 accommodators account, then we would close on the self-storage project. So I needed two things. I needed one, to get an extension on the deal, on the self-storage facility, so I had enough time to refinance that property. And two, I went to the father and son team with the $200,000, and I said, look, I've got the money we need to close on the storage facility, but let's do this instead. Instead of you putting your $200,000 in the storage deal, hold your $200,000, and we'll service, I'll give you 50% ownership in the industrial building, and we'll take your $200,000 and service the debt, and we'll get this leased up, and that money will go towards any tenant improvements and commissions and debt service, and I'll give you half of my ownership in the industrial building and half of my ownership in the self-storage facility. And they agreed to do that. So we real quickly got a loan on the building, closed on the building. I took title to the industrial building. I put that $1 million in a 1031 intermediaries account under John B's name, his LLC's name. And we scheduled the closing on the storage facility. Now, it really took something for me to get an extension from the seller to the end of 2007. I had no idea it'd be that difficult to get an extra couple months, 2.5 months extension, but it took something. I mean, it really took something. But I got it. And we did it. I took title to the building. The money went in the accommodators account. We were, again, 10 days away from closing. And I don't know if you remember December 2007, but all hell was breaking loose in the economy. Banks were starting to fold. Everything was going south. And I got a call from my mortgage broker. And my mortgage broker said, well, your funding for your loan has dried up. I had no idea about that. Never heard anything like that. But apparently CMBS loans are funded by Wall Street. Wall Street was closed. No money going into commercial real estate loans. It would be a long, long time before CMBS loans would start up again. But the CMBS market shut tight, closed, no loans going out. So here I am, 10 days away, proud owner of that industrial building, $1 million sitting in the account for the exchange, and the majority of the money for the deal went away. So I didn't know what to do. I called John B., explained the situation, and man, he was cool-headed. He got it real quickly. He said, well, here's what we got to do. I have to do this exchange, and we have to get a loan. So we're going to go to a bank, and I've got some pull with some of the banks. We're going to go to a bank and get a regular bank loan. He said, but you have got to get an extension with that seller. We're going to need at least 60 days. I can't tell you how excited I was to make that call again. And that seller blew a cork, wasn't going to do it. Finally, he said the only way he would do it is if that money, in that $1 million in the accommodator's account went hard and he got it in 60 days. That's not a deal I would do. But John, it wasn't my money, it was John B.'s money. So I called him up and John said, let's do it. It wasn't easy, even with his connections, getting a loan from a bank. But we finally got the loan. And guess what day we closed? Day 60. On the day of the close, we get a call from the bank saying, well, we can still close, but here's the deal. Since about 20% of the buildings are used for your record storage business, and record storage business is not real estate, we're going to take 20% of your loan and amortize it over 7 years rather than 20, which is the normal real estate amortization. So on the day of the closing, day 60, our debt service went up $10,000 a month. But John said, let's close, and we closed. So in the worst recession since the stock market crash of 29, if you'd have had me draw lines on what was necessary to close on that deal, I couldn't have done it. I could not have figured all that out. And I didn't. All I did was keep my eye on the end goal, see that closing, feel that closing. I knew it in my bones that we were going to close on that deal. I just didn't have a clue how it was going to happen. And I could have not organized the pieces to make it happen. It was like the universe was conspiring against all odds to have that deal close. Now, it wasn't the greatest deal we ever did. I know we never hit the performance numbers, especially given the debt service increase. The record storage business was a big mistake. It's a B2B business in the recession. I mean, it dropped off real fast. And, you know, 20, 30% loss in revenue immediately. The self-storage did okay. We lost a little occupancy, but not much. Thank goodness I was in the self-storage business. It was 18 months before I did another real estate deal. But what I learned was that we don't always know how these deals are going to work. Our job is to keep a fixed goal, a vision in mind. Then get up and go do the next thing that there is to do, regardless of what's going on and what the circumstances are around you. Now, fortunately, most of my real estate career has, my self-storage business has not been that dramatic, but I learned a lot about what it takes to fulfill on goals through that transaction. And I've carried that knowledge with me as I built two more brands up. We ended up selling them between 2018 and 2020. And I've used it the rest of my life as I've created goals and had them be fulfilled, and as I've worked with people getting in the self-storage business. My job is to keep my eye on the vision I've created and what's laid out in front of me, and then do the next thing that there is to do. Sometimes it's just to keep breathing and do the next thing that there is to do. So my name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I look forward to being with you next week.